Welcome to New Shooter Canada. Please remember that the show's content and word pronunciation is simply the opinion of the hosts and their guests.
Well, all I've got is my life being free. Because I'm armed, you can't take that from me, and you should know it.
Hello and welcome to episode 114 of New Shooter Canada. I'm one of your hosts, Thomas, and we have our other host, Mike.
Hello.
And tonight we have a co-host, Mr. Baron.
Hi.
How you doing, Baron?
Good.
Well, you know what? Since you're the guest, what did you do in guns this week, Baron?
So just yesterday I practiced using my lever action rifle so I get better at cowboy action shooting.
What type of lever do you have?
Don't remember, actually.
Wasn't it the Henry?
Yeah, it was the Henry, yeah.
How'd you like it?
I like it. It's light enough.
I find the front sight, you find the front sight really, really tiny on that?
No. It could just be my eyes being smaller. I don't know.
That could be. A friend of mine has one, the Golden Boy, and it's a beautiful rifle, but I remember that the sight picture was really hard for me.
No.
Anything else in guns this week?
No, that's about it.
Okay, Mike, what about you? No shooting?
No shooting. Sorry, quick question. What caliber was that lever action in?
22.
22, okay. Yeah, I did no shooting, but my Norinco 1911 came in. This is... Actually, no, it's not my first Norinco. My first Norinco was a 22 pistol, but this is the first Norinco I've had in a long time, and first thing that kind of surprised me when I got it, it literally came in a sealed bag full of, like, grease.
Oh, yeah.
Like, okay, it's in it. But then when I realized they actually sealed it shut, oh. So, yeah.
Was it Cosmoline or grease?
You know what? It kind of smelt like Cosmoline, but it didn't have that same thickness that Cosmoline has. So, that's why I lean toward, I think it's some sort of grease.
Why did it take you to clean it out?
Oh, it took me, I completely took it apart, like 100%, every single piece. Took it all apart, cleaned everything off, then cleaned it with a degreaser. Then I put it all back together using some oil. Lots of tooling marks all over the gun. The extractor literally fell out when I took the slide apart. So I'm gonna take a guess that there's not enough tension on it. So I did that. I didn't polish or adjust anything on it because I wanna be able to compare it when I go shooting. You know, brand new out of the box, you know, minus it being cleaned versus me doing some work on it. The trigger pull on it is atrocious. Measuring it without a magazine in it, it can measure anywhere between 7.5 and 9 pounds. And when I put a magazine in, it brings it between 7.5 and 8.5 pounds. So
the mag's probably rubbing against the trigger shoe.
Oh, there's got to be more than one thing wrong with that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You're going to need some equipment.
Yeah, that's going to take some time. Mind you, with that said, that is a very crisp 8-pound trigger pull. I'm excited. I bought the gun to be a project gun, right? So it's going in that direction.
That's good.
Yep. I also took Sarah's gun apart, and I was messaging you, Thomas, about this, working on my extractor on it, trying to figure out why it's not working. So I put a little bit more tension on it, but we're going to have to take it to the range and see if I did anything that will actually increase its reliability. I also played with the leaf spring in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe before I was measuring around 5.5 pounds, and I got the trigger pull down to 4 pounds.
Perfect.
So I thought if we change out the main spring, and it does go down, I think they say usually if you lower your main spring, it'll go down about 25%. So I figured if it goes down there 25%, it'll end up somewhere right around that 3-pound mark, and I figure that's about as light as we need to go, so.
Yeah, 4 pounds is even fine too, depending on the shooter.
Yeah.
It's a nice crisp trigger.
Yeah. I know Sarah wants to change out the hammer spring just because she finds it hard to rack it just to overcome the hammer spring. So.
Well, you have to set it up for her, so.
Oh yeah. Yep. It's all going to be set up for her. So. Yep, so we're going to do that, and we're looking into springs that we're going to buy to change everything out so that we have some recoil springs for when we change out the hammer spring and everything else. But yeah, I think that's it. That's all I did.
Should we be getting a lot of gun parts for Christmas?
We'll have to see. Well, part of the fun with the Norinco is I kind of want to see how much I can do with it just by working on it and changing out springs. Like, without actually just... Because I know some people, they essentially buy these guns, they pretty much take all the internals out and then just buy, I don't know, Ed Brown or another big name, you know, parts manufacturer and just fill the gun back in because the slide and the frame are made out of... I believe I always hear they're made out of a really good steel, and that's why people like them.
The problem is when you do that, you'll never ever get the money back that you put into that gun. You're better to do it your route, and that way you can pop $750 worth of parts into the gun. Nobody's going to pay more than $500 or $600 for the gun. Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. So I figure I might change out some parts. I have a feeling it's going to be more likely because I broke something as I'm changing it out, or trying to work on it to, you know, tweak it just to get it that much better, and I'm going to tweak a little too far and it's going to break. But we'll see how far we can get.
How's the slide to hammer fit?
Tight? I wouldn't call it tight, but I wouldn't call it loose either.
Okay, and you're pushing the barrel hood, the barrel stays set, it doesn't move at all?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yep.
I've seen some people just do what you're doing and make some incredibly nice guns.
Yeah.
Rough on the outside, but they can shoot and they've got nice triggers. So if you can make a gun run for $400 that shoots like hell, go for it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I always figure I wanted a 1911 also as a, I feel like a collection isn't complete without one, right? It's almost like they're so popular. It's almost how can you not have one and call yourself a gun collector, right?
One. So, you need more than one.
I think we'll see.
You've got two now, right?
Well, no, I have one and Sarah has one.
I think I'm down to three. I'm down to three 1911s.
I feel like we're in like an AA meeting.
Hi, my name is Thomas and I have a gun addiction.
So what'd you do this week, Thomas?
Nothing. I didn't do a thing except you and I were messaging back and forth, so I took my 1911s apart and had the extractor angle and the amount of space I had between the cases, and I realized that I hadn't cleaned these two guns for a long time because my hands got black, my pants got black, so I ended up cleaning guns, but I didn't actually do any shooting this week.
Okay.
I just cleaned the two 1911s that I took apart to show you.
That's good. At least you did something.
Yeah, I've been looking at guns. I don't know. I still want a 10 millimeter, but you know, I was looking at that Colt Delta Elite 2, so I'm jumping back from wanting a carbine to walking pistol. And then I really did like that Grandpa, right? It was really nice. So I decided this Christmas, I'm not getting a gun for Christmas. This would be the first year, I think in probably 20 years, I haven't asked for a gun for Christmas. I'm getting a microphone and a stand for the podcast.
Well, I'm sure the listeners will appreciate it.
Well, I got two guns this year already for free, so I can skip actually buying one. My birthday's in May, so I'll ask for something in May.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. I have a plan. So, guns in the news. There wasn't a lot. So our first story, Baron's gonna read it for a story. So what's, story one, Baron?
Okay, so U.S. gun sales have hit an all-time high on Black Friday in 2016. According to a number of FBI background checks, this breaks the previous record that was set last year. Licensed firearm dealers had to file 185,713 background checks on Black Friday, which is 400 more than the year prior. As licensed Canadian firearm owners, we are subject to RCMP writing criminal background checks daily on all of us. So no separate background checks is required for purchase. And we can buy as many as we want to.
This is true. You go down there, you've got to wait. And some restrictions, some states you can only get one a day or one a week or one a month. At least we can go in because we have that background check. I can go into any sporting goods store and if I want to buy 110-22s, I'll probably get flagged in the RCMP system for doing it. But I don't have to wait or have it approved. Now, of course, restricted to a different story because we have draconian handgun laws up here, but there's some advantages to having a firearms license at least.
Yep, it's got to be about the only one.
Yeah, I think that's about it.
Yeah. And it only applies to non-restricted.
Well, the other thing is, it's a great piece of ID for Terry because she doesn't have photo ID. So her actual only photo ID, and she doesn't drive, so her only photo ID was her restricted pal for the longest time. Hmm. Now the health card has the picture on it, but she was always proud of that. I've got photo ID. You see the look in people's faces when they see this girl in a wheelchair handing them the firearms license.
Yeah.
Okay, so story two, we were talking about the High Point carbine a few weeks ago, and I was actually curious about the sales figure for the rifle. So I emailed the company, and I just asked for ballpark. I didn't ask for specific numbers. And they asked me back, hey, Thomas, over the years, around 40,000 carbines have been sold. And they said, any other questions to contact them. So that's a lot more than I thought. So 40,000 people are shooting High Point carbines.
I'm not surprised. They're kind of the, I think a lot of people consider them to be like entry level, right?
I think some people consider them to be below entry level.
Well, I'm sure there are those people who think that, but I imagine that a new shooter coming into the game who wanted a pistol caliber carbine, High Point seems like a good way to get into the game at least.
Oh, it is. I think the carbine is a good deal for the money. Even, you know, the pistols, even though they're cheap pot metal, they're massive to make up for the loss of weight they need. They go and go and go. So they've got horrible triggers, but they function. So if you get what you need, if you need a firearm and you have a limited budget, it's a viable option.
Oh yeah. It's especially down in the States, right?
Oh yeah.
You need a gun. You need it now. It's a good way to get started, I should say.
And if you can pick them up used, dirt cheap, probably under $100 used.
God bless America.
Oh, God. America. So what's story two? Or story three, Mike?
Story three. A 78-year-old woman was getting ready for an afternoon nap at 3 p.m. when she heard a noise inside her Mountain Carmel Road home. She loaded her gun, opened her bedroom door, and saw two men standing in the hallway. According to the report, the men were in the process of stealing furs and tools from the home. But after seeing the elderly resident's gun, the men reportedly ran out of the residence and fled in a car. Deputies pulled the escaped car over and took the subjects into custody. No resistance was noted in the report. The suspected home invaders, two men ages 22 and 44, as well as their female getaway driver, age 49, have all been arrested. The 44-year-old male was charged with burglary and felony possession of a firearm by a convicted person. The 32-year-old male is being charged with burglary and theft by receiving stolen property. The female getaway driver is charged with burglary. And that's from amaland.com.
You see, Granny never even had to fire a shot. Just the image of the gun was enough to scare the two.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it's like a lot of things, right? A lot of criminals probably don't expect any resistance, right? And as soon as you show up, prepare to show resistance, that's enough. They're looking for easy targets, not difficult ones.
Yeah, sometimes it's important to show resistance.
Yeah.
So what's new in the industry? It isn't really new. I've been looking at these, Umberti, Silver Boys. There are 22 and a 22 Magnum lever action 22s. And it's controlled round feed like the old Winchester 94 22s. That's what I originally wanted. I put off buying a 94 22 about 20 years ago and instead I bought a 10-22. And I've kicked myself ever since because of course Winchester closed down and trying to get a 94 22, that used to cost $300-$400 is going to cost you thousands of dollars nowadays. So I've been looking at alternatives. I like this Umberti because it's, you can get it in 22 mag. The only thing I didn't like about it was the, long rifle version. The rear sight is fixed. It's not adjustable at all. But again, the rifle is meant to look like a gun from the West. So there's no groove receiver or any way to even mount optics on it. It's a cowboy gun and it's really pretty. It's got a deeply blue 19-inch barrel and it's attached to a chrome-plated aluminum receiver, so the rifle looks awesome. I did look at the Henrys, and I wasn't impressed with the Henrys because the receiver is basically a pot metal with a clamshell on top of it of steel, which does have a groove receiver, so I didn't really like the way it was manufactured. I can't afford a Marlin 39 lever action. I'd love one of those things, but they're like $800-$900 now to get the takedown, so if I want to get a little lever action, I think the Birdie's probably my best bet right now. I think they go for about $700 up here. So if you're looking for a lever gun, take a look at this Umberti Silver Boy. It's a beautiful little gun.
Yeah. Do you like that look? The half kind of stainless steel look, half blue look?
I do. It looks smart because you've got the chrome receiver, the lever, and then the barrel band. You've got that really deeply rich blued barrel and tube, and then it's got really, really nice wood on it. Because you figure you get the Golden Boy is going to be a copper. A bright, bright copper band and receiver. So this is just, to me, it looks very similar to the Golden Boy, except just a different color.
Oh. To me, it looks like they built it out of the leftover parts bin, and that's why all the parts don't match.
Oh, no, I guess so, if you look at it that way.
Yeah.
Now, if it came, I wonder if they make this case colored. Case hardened. It might look nice, too.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen, George's Umberti lever action?
No.
Oh, it's gorgeous. It's absolutely gorgeous. I think he's got the 1873 Winchester.
Okay.
The receiver's all colored. It's got the octagon barrel. It's deeply blue. The wood on it is absolutely gorgeous. Gorgeous. And I think to replace that gun nowadays would probably cost him $1,800-$1,900. It's beautiful.
Wow.
Beautiful, beautiful gun. So I'm wondering if George goes first, does his dad get George's guns?
That's a good question.
Yeah. We'll have to bring that up.
Maybe George's dad. That's why he's so cool with George's plan. He had his own plan in the background.
That could be it. He doesn't, might know his son has a heart condition that he doesn't know about. Who knows? Okay. So this week's main topic. I think we're sort of still covering along the EDC type of lineup. I was originally going to do something regarding compasses and the different types of compasses. And I started writing it all. I figured, well, this is really boring because it doesn't really apply to anything. And I started thinking about, well, using a compass in the bush, how does track and trail through the bush? Then I remembered our young friend Baron just got his scout badge and he just went through all this. So, and he did a paper for this. For his, what was the badge that you got for this one, Baron? Or the certificate?
The Chief Scout Order is the certificate I got.
Yeah. So his paper on that was what we're going to go through tonight. So I figured this would be perfect. Instead of me making it all up and having to write it, I know this 14-year-old kid that's got it all written up for me. I don't have to do anything. I can just sit back and let him do it.
Yep. Easy for you.
I think they call that plagiarizing, Thomas.
Well, no, because he's actually reading it, too.
Mm-hmm. From the source.
So yeah, so he's plagiarizing himself. I'm not plagiarizing him.
Yeah.
So while Scouts Canada badge system has changed, I did actually go through the manual because Tom did say it changed, and I actually went through it, and it's been very liberalized, I'll say. There are still recognitions in the trail skills adventure skill set for different levels of map reading and using a compass and GPS. Skills range from the basics of how to read a compass, to find direction to using a topographical map, to plan a trip through unfamiliar territory, and then doing it. So I guess the first thing we're going to do is, I guess, contour map. What is a contour map, Baron? What do you need a contour map for?
Before going somewhere, it's always good to look at a map of the area. Google Maps is a pretty good place to start. There is a topographical map view you can see by selecting terrain view in the menu or the legend in the map. Things to look for are roads, highways, lakes, rivers, swamps, and things that can help you know where you are when you are walking around in the area on a map for real. Something as simple as knowing that the highway runs north and south to the east of where you are means if you get lost, you can just walk east for the highway to get some help.
Yeah, that's what I normally do. I'll just take a bearing to which direction the road is before I go in. That way, if I get turned around, at least I know if I go north, and the road's north, I can just head out there. The only other thing I was going to suggest is that you should just Google Maps. There, you can also get there's quite a few companies that make topo maps.
Oh, yeah.
If you get a topo map, check out the date that the map was printed, especially if you're getting topo maps, say, up northern Algonquin Park area. Mm-hmm. If you look at the bottom of those maps, in the very bottom, it tells you that it was printed by the armed forces in the 1950s. Oh, so wow. Some things may have changed. Towns may not be there. Roads may have been changed. Rail lines may not be there because it's such an old map. So Google's a good idea, or you can get satellite images, which are tend to be a little more accurate and up to date.
Mm-hmm. So also on the map, also on a topographical map, there's a contour line that shows the elevation above sea level. So if you follow the line like a loop on a map, all the ground on that line will be the same heights. You won't be able to walk up or down it. Different lines show different elevation. They show hills and valleys on a map. The real information is how close the lines are together on the map. The closer the lines are together, the greater change in the elevation is in a small area. Lines far apart show a gentle slope. But lines closer together show a really, really steep slope. So if they're like a millimeter apart from each other, that's probably a really high mountain. And if they're right on top of each other, that means it's a overhang. Yeah.
Oh, I never thought of that.
Or like a cleft.
Yeah, cleft, or overhang, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So you really have to look at the map closely to see what type of terrain you're going to encounter.
Mm-hmm. So when you have a compass, you can use it to travel to your destination. A compass has a magnetic needle that aligns with the Earth's magnetic field to point north. To find the direction of north, hold the compass flat and allow the needle to swing freely. On most compasses, the needle has two halves, one red and the other white. The red end will point to north and the white one will point to south.
But what happens if you stick a magnet to your compass bearing?
If you stick a magnet to it, reverse the poles like I did once.
Yeah, okay. I had to throw you under the bus for that one.
Yeah.
So how do you take a bearing with the compass?
So taking a bearing means to find what direction you're heading relative to north. So if you take a bearing of 90 degrees, it means you're heading east. 180 degrees would be south, 270 degrees would be west, and 0 degrees would be north. If all you have is a simple compass that only shows north, you and a friend can get where you want to go by using a method called leapfrogging. So to leapfrog, you take a bearing and have your partner walk ahead of you. Direct your partner to left or right on the bearing. And once your partner is about 20 to 30 meters ahead of you, tell them to stop. Adjust if necessary. Walk up to your partner and walk past them, and then your partner will leapfrog you. Your partner will then direct you, and your partner will then direct you. If you're by yourself, line up two objects, like two trees, that you're heading to, that you want to go to. Walk to the first tree, and once there, take another bearing and line up the second tree with another one that's further away. Keep doing this and adjusting it as you need to.
You know, that's if you're using a straight magnetic compass. What happens if you're using, if you have an orientation compass?
So an orienteering compass is a liquid-filled compass placed in a rectangular base of transparent plastic, so a map can be read through the transparent part. The compass rotates so you can see both the north direction you want to travel in, north direction and one, and the direction you want to travel in. So on the top of the compass, there's an arrow pointing where you want to go. There's usually a magnifying glass on it for reading, and rulers on the side of the base plate, often used for plotting. Using an orienteering compass makes traveling on a heading a little easier since the compass rotates in the housing. You can spin the compass so that the direction of travel arrow points lines up with the heading you want to travel in. When you align the needle to point north on the compass, the direction arrow is where you want to go. Using an orienteering compass on a map is even easier, since the compass is transparent and has straight lines that run the same direction as the north indicator on the compass dial, called the orienteering lines. Place the compass on the map, aligning the orienteering lines with the latitude lines. You can then rotate the base plate to point the direction arrow where you want to go on the map. You can then use the leapfrogging method to get you to your destination. If there are any hills or ponds in the way, you can plot a course several sub-destinations or waypoints to get where you want to go.
What time if you want to use it at night, then?
Well, if you want to use it at nighttime, Polaris North Star points north. Find the Big Dipper and locate the two pointer stars, the stars at the end of the cup part, furthest away from the handle. from the bottom of the cup and draw an imaginary line through the two stars and follow it to Polaris. Polaris is about 5 times the distance between the two pointer stars.
Okay, cool. And you can do the same thing with a watch during the day, right?
Yeah. So in the daytime, in the northern hemisphere, well, moss will usually grow on the north side of a tree, but not always. So, but if you have an analog watch, like one I usually wear, and not a digital one, or not a digital one, though. If you find, to find north, you can use the hour hand, that's the little one. You can point at the sun, and imagine there's a line down the middle, between the angle between the noon, which is 12, and the hour hand. And right between the two, we'll point south. So the opposite direction would be north.
Beautiful. So, there's several different compasses up there. I guess the ones most people are familiar with would be the liquid-filled compass. What are some of the disadvantages of a liquid-filled compass?
Well, if you have a liquid-filled compass, if you step on it or sit on it or throw it, I don't know why you'd throw it, but if you did, it would break. And also, if it's cold outside, you can actually freeze the water inside the housing.
Yeah, I've seen that happen too. And the other one I've seen is that, just a straight floating compass. Sometimes there's not a mechanism that actually holds the needle in place. And it's just, it's like a balancing beam. It sits on a pin and it's at a balancing point. And you start knocking that round in your pocket, sooner or later, it's going to get knocked out of alignment. So the better ones actually have, a locking system on it. So when you're not using the compass, you can lock the pin from moving around. That way it won't get damaged. And the other thing I don't like about liquid filled compasses, they get compromised often. If you get an air bubble in there, you might as well just throw it away. You might, and that's if it's a visible air bubble, you can have an air bubble that's actually up under your pin and you won't even see it. So I've been staying away from liquid filled compasses these days. You can get an oil filled, but a lot of them don't say oil filled. It just says liquid filled. So you don't know whether it's water or plastic. And I've actually broken I throw my bag against the wall and I've smashed it and it's gone through the washing machine. So.
Oh, so you can throw it. Okay.
Yeah, you can throw it.
Okay. That's a reason why it's in your bag. Okay.
Yeah.
So why would you buy a liquid filled one then? They sound pretty, unreliable.
It dampens it,
yeah,
and it allows it to actually, it slows it down and become more precise, because if it's just free floating, it's going back and forth really fast, and it's wobbling, the liquid just tends to slow the motion down of the needle. That's all it's there for.
Okay, and there's different. So there is a benefit to having this liquid-filled one then?
Well, yeah, it's actually a little bit faster to take your reading. If you just put it down, it settles down faster.
Yeah.
There's other type of compasses. Right now, the compasses that we're talking about are going for the magnetic field. In our hemisphere, but there's also the polar north as well. A lot of maps are actually set up for the polar north, not the magnetic north. So then there's a system to run the two together. And if you get a map, it's going to show which way is north, but it's probably going to be showing polar north. It's not going to be showing magnetic north. So, and there, what's the one that rotates? There's a compass that actually spins. The same rotation as the Earth's axis, they you sync it, and then you get the exact polar north location. Or boats are different; they're resting in a cradle, and they run a little bit differently too. So there's all different type of there's a different compass for navigation. There's a different compass for flying. I'm sure there's compasses designed for underwater. Do you have a compass, Mike?
Oh yeah, I have a few of compasses. I learned how to use a compass back when I was in scouts, long, long time ago. I still take a compass with me every time I go camping, just in case I get lost, because cell phones die rather quickly when you need them. So, I always bring one with me.
I'll tell you, it's a compass that saved my butt a couple of times. My stepfather, my uncle, and I went up to a friend of his cottage. I was probably Baron's age. It was probably 14 or 15. And we're just going to go up fishing. But my uncle brought his canoe and all his camping stuff. And we went into the ministry office and we're asking for local maps for canoeing and stuff. And they had some summer student working in there and we asked him for the maps. So the kid's rummaging through all these drawers and everything else. So he finally finds us this really, it had to be like a 20th generation photocopy of this map. It's a really bad map. So we take it back to the cottage and And the next day, my stepfather dropped off me and my uncle, and the plan was, okay, you guys are going to stay here, and we're going to pick you up tomorrow. No, we're going to pick you up in 2 days. No, I think it was the next day. We said, okay, yeah, we'll see you the next day. So we're looking at this map that we got from the ministry, and it said travel time from where we were to where my stepfather was 7 to 8 hours. So my uncle and I decided, well, instead of waiting, why don't we just paddle down instead of having them pick us up? We'll just meet them there. And the map said, of course, it said travel time 6 to 7 hours. So the map would say, go to small inlet at southwest corner of the lake. Well, there'd be 6 inlets at the southwest corner of the lake. And what they didn't tell us that this map hadn't been given out in 20 years, all the portage signs had rotted off and fallen down. This map was, these trails weren't in use any longer. And if my uncle didn't have that little tiny button compass in his bag, we would have been screwed. By the time we got back to where we were, because of this map that had been given to us, that to these trails that hadn't been used for, it was horrible. We didn't get back till 6 o'clock that night, and we come showing up. There's search and rescue helicopters, there's a harbor patrol, looking for 2 lost people there in the bush. Well, they're looking for us because we didn't show up at our rendezvous time and point. And if we didn't have that stupid little button compass, Uncle Andy and I probably be still stuck out there in the bush. He just had one on his keychain. And we figured that the routes would be marked, everything would be legible. There was nothing. There was no, we just saw the water course and where the portage routes were supposed to be that weren't there. We found the portage signs. A lot of them were just rotted out on the ground.
Yeah. No, yeah, I haven't actually had to use a compass since I was in scouts, so I've been fortunate in that I don't get lost, or I haven't gotten lost.
Well, I remember a couple of weeks ago I threw my friend Connie under the bus for accidentally stealing me those grips from my 1911.
Yeah, that was great. You to bring it up again.
Well, I was at her property deer hunting, and I'd never actually been up there. And the plan was to go out the next morning, early in the morning, but she said, "Well, we still have an hour of sunlight. Let's go out now." And I had my compass with me, and I'd taken my reading before we went in, and we start walking in the back of her property, and it gets dark, sun goes down. And she says, "Well, I think it's this way." And I said, "No, Connie, I think it's this way." She said, no, I'm pretty sure it's this way. And I pulled up my compass. I said, "No, I don't think you're right." And I said, "I'm pretty sure we have to go due north to hit the road." And she was sending us south. And good thing she listened to me, because I was right. We went in there. I didn't know the area at all. The sun went down, complete blackness. We didn't have flashlights or nothing. So good thing I had my compass and my cell phone. Well, at least nowadays, if you have a cell phone, they have compass apps and GPSs. So as long as you get your phone with you, but if you're planning any extended, trip through the bush, you have to plan it out.
And don't a lot of those cell phone ones, don't they rely on the towers to be able to figure out?
It depends. Some use GPS satellites, some use the radio signals. Okay. I think if you have, it depends on the data. Yeah. But you pay for it. I think it depends on your data plan when you want the GPS signals.
I've never had to use my phone into GPS, so I guess I've been lucky in that way.
I've done it a couple times. If I'm traveling someplace, I just type in the address and get the directions.
So, Baron, what did you have to do to get your badge?
So to get the Chief Scout Award, I had to do 2 6-hour camps. I had to get up to a good, I had to get to a total of 18 activity skills from the new way of getting Chief Scout. And the big thing is I had to do a community works project. So that's how I help the community. Yeah, so to help it is a project to help the community. So what I did was I made a public library box that you put books in and have people borrow books and return them.
Oh, good idea.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's being used really well. Actually, I had the problem of there's too many books in there, so.
Who has to carry the books back and forth?
Yeah. there's enough room for more books, that's the problem, so I might have to look through and make sure there isn't too many bad ones. Yeah.
What was the most challenging thing you had to do?
Probably have the initiative to act and get the badge. Like, the initiative of having to be like, I want to get it, and then actually having to do the work to get it. That's the hard part.
Yeah, because it's a big commitment once you start. It's a lot of work.
Definitely. But it's definitely worth it.
And of course, it doesn't help if your dad's a scout leader and he's poking at you from behind, eh?
Yeah.
I know that feeling.
Oh, okay. So what else we got coming up? You know what? We didn't put any events in, did we?
No. Well, we don't have any events coming up. Not Christmas is coming. There's an event.
Christmas is coming?
Yep. It's a very important one, too.
A lot of holidays coming up.
That's the guy. Santa's going to come in with his reindeer and a firearm for everyone.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Are you asking Santa for a particular firearm this Christmas?
No, not really.
Are you planning to get your PAL or your hunting license?
Yeah, I should probably get that so I can, so if my dad kicks the bucket eventually, I can have his guns.
Exactly.
Of course, that's the secret motive.
You've been listening to George too much, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Now, are you planning on getting your hunting license?
Maybe.
Okay, so that you can get, what, 15 or 12 now, right? Your hunting license? You can get your apprentice license at 12.
Yeah.
I don't have kids, so I don't know these things.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
And then you can get a minor's license for the firearms.
Yeah.
Mike, you're going to have to look into these things in a few years.
I think I have more than a few years.
You wait. 18 years is going to pass you in the blink of an eye.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I'm sure I'll know all this stuff soon enough.
Okay, so we're going to keep it short tonight, folks. So please send any feedback, questions, comments you may have to host@newshootercanada.ca or our Facebook page or in our comments section or on our website at newshootercanada.ca. iTunes and Stitchers. Actually, I looked on that there's 14.
Yeah, there were 14 before.
There was 14 before. And Facebooks were at 979 or 980 when I looked today.
This is how the professionals do it.
Who works on the show notes?
Not me.
Exactly. And George.
I took the week off.
That's cool.
We are at 979 likes.
Ah. We gotta put George to work, you know. This is our chance to throw him under the bus.
Yeah. Not in more than just him getting my last name wrong?
Well, he comes by it naturally, though.
Yeah.
And I think he just wanted to swear and get away with it on the show.
Now, actually, no, he pronounced it even worse than... Actually, he mispronounced it differently. Because I don't think he pronounced it Shitka. I think he pronounced it some other way. So, like, he... Yeah, because most people pronounce it Shitka. But I don't think he did that. He pronounced it some other way.
Yeah, that way he could get away with saying something that he shouldn't say on the show, and it's a mispronunciation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and we didn't have to edit him.
Yeah.
All I can imagine is just like the little kid, I didn't say the bad word.
Well, I told Barrett, you know, he could. If you want to throw George under the bus, go for it.
And I did, kind of.
He did. George put one, he put one news story in. There's one news story he did put in a couple of months ago, and he insisted that he had to read it since he put it in. I think that's about it. And Mary's been so busy lately, so, you know, I don't count on her unless she actually is available because she's got such a busy schedule, so.
Yeah.
I'm just glad that we have her input. And I'm going to get her a MP3 recorder. I just got to get it out to her. I'm looking at two because I want to get one for myself. So that way we can get her to record stuff on the fly or if she's at matches or whatever. It'd be nice to have her own little reporter on the scene.
Sounds good.
Any shout outs, Mike?
Nope. I got nothing this week.
Yeah, George, I got a shout out. I got a
shout-out. What's your show, Baron?
To you, Mr. Donnelly, and Mr. Hissam, for having me on your show. Thanks.
Well, thank you very much for coming on, because I appreciate it. We really do.
Yep, yeah. It was a pleasure having you.
Thank you.
You know, we have new shooters of all ages.
You've got yep.
New shooters that are old like me.
I'd wait and see how you wanted to word that one.
Yeah, I'll figure out bite the bullet. And we have young and upcoming shooters like Baron. I've met Baron a couple of times because he shoots with his dad at the club, and you were shooting in the youth league for a while too, weren't you?
Yeah.
and you do the cowboy action shooting. So I have met Baron a few times, but I've never actually sat down and had a long conversation with him. So I enjoyed taking the chance and the opportunity to get to know you tonight.
Yep, thank you. Enjoyed talking to you too.
What club do you shoot cowboy action at?
Port Prairie Rod and Gun.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't realize they had a cowboy club there.
They do.
I'll have to look into that one.
Mm-hmm, you should.
The problem is, they don't hold public events.
Oh, they don't?
No, it's club level.
Oh, that's probably why I haven't heard of them before.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had issues when we first put up a cowboy action shoot, so we stopped it right away and just made it club level. The only really club, shoot that people can come to is the, PPC. We don't mind people coming out and shooting PPC.
Yeah.
That's about the only one where people come in.
Okay.
It's a small club.
Yeah. Anyway, Thomas, do you have any shout-outs?
Yes, I do. To my neighbor, Carlene. I went outside with the dog, and Carlene had shoveled my driveway, my walkway, and my sidewalk. So, Carlene, thank you. I appreciate that.
So have you officially become like the old person on the block that everyone feels bad for and shovels your driveway for you?
Well, not officially, because I hire Holton to do it.
Okay.
I pay him. Like, I do the walkway, and he does my driveway and my sidewalk. I really can't do it. I've had surgery in both my elbows, so like doing the snow, it just kills me. If I'm shoveling and I hit that crack in the sidewalk, I'm done. I'm done for the night, so.
All right.
Or I could buy a new snowboard.
Yeah, that's the easy thing. That's what I did.
Yeah. Mine wore out a couple years ago. I haven't replaced it yet. I bought a gun instead.
Big surprise.
Okay, until next week, folks, keep your barrels downrange and smoking.
Be prepared.
Michael?
Time spent at the range is time spent with family.
Beautiful. Good night, everybody, and thanks for listening.
Goodbye.
Good night.
I really like 22 now.
Thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you with any questions or feedback you may have, or if you just want to call shenanigans. You can contact us at host@newshootercanada.ca or through our Facebook page.
The way they look, I like the shiny steel and the polished wood. I don't care if they're big or small, they're for sale, hell, I want them all. I like guns, I like guns, I like guns.